Second Chronicles chapter 20, I believe it is. And verse 1 says this, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." And I'd ask you to think while you read your Bibles. But here it said, the king is proclaimed a fast. They're seeking the Lord. Verse 4 says, "And Judah gathered themselves together. Out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." There could have been close to a million people here. I mean, this, at one time, David numbered his soldiers. God told him not to. He got in trouble for it. But there were over a million soldiers that they had when the Israel and Judah were combined. But there are a lot of folks here. And they're asking help. They're seeking the Lord. And Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, that thou wilt hear and help." Now we talked about that verse last night. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face." That's what he's talking about here. "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroy them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And again, think in 13, "And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Jehoshaphat had just prayed his prayer. Hundreds of thousands of people standing there. He gets finished with his prayer. Dad, mom, kids, babies. Just looking up. Looking up for help. Amen. I want to bring your attention to a little phrase in that verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." Look at this next phrase. "Neither know we what to do." You ever get there?
Yes, sir.
You just don't know what to do. So with the Lord's help tonight, I'm sure you've heard messages made with this title, but I'm not very original, so I'll just use the same title. What to do when you don't know what to do?
That's good.
What to do when you don't know what to do? I'm glad Jehoshaphat was on the right track, amen?
Amen.
Especially when, number one, get your eyes on him. That's what to do when you don't know what to do. Number one is get your eyes on him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Here, it's in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and and set himself to seek the Lord. At the end of verse 12, he says, but our eyes are upon thee. Get your eyes on the Lord.
Yes, sir.
For sake of time, and I'm not in a hurry tonight, but in Nehemiah chapter 4, I believe it is, Nehemiah has been commissioned not only by God, but by his king to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. He's got the license. He's got material. The king lets people come out to help work. And when he gets there, he runs into opposition from Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. It shouldn't shock you if you decide you want to serve the Lord. Matter of fact, this week, it shouldn't shock you if you decided you really want revival, they run smack into the devil.
Yeah, right.
That shouldn't shock you. Preacher's talking about it today. Just things happening today. Just a fight. A fight. Shouldn't take us by surprise. We all be ready for it. Amen. But here, Nehemiah, all these rumors, and even his own people came to him. He said, this is what they said. I mean, they said a fox can tear down that wall, and some night they're going to come in and destroy us all. And I should have had you turn there, but it's so classic. Nehemiah says, listen, remember the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Remember the Lord. Let me tell you, whenever you worry the least little bit, you forgot somebody.
Help us.
Matter of fact, when you're in the middle of your worrying, you're practicing atheism. Because you just took God out of the whole picture. God's our Father, and He's going to take care of us. And when we start worrying, we pretty well put ourselves in charge.
Yes, sir.
And we are finite, and we are not omnipotent.
Right.
We're weak.
Yes, sir.
And certainly, when you worry, it's going to be some bad stuff you're thinking. Amen. And you ought to be getting your eyes on Him.
Amen.
I don't know what you're going through right now, but let me say this. I've got four or five other things to say here. But if things are going great, the things I'll tell you tonight will be good to do. Mm-hmm. But what to do when you don't know what to do? Number one, get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes on Him. Remember the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Remember the Lord. Number two, look at Jehoshaphat's prayer. Verse 6. What a prayer. What a prayer and what a prayer.
Amen.
And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Now, Jehoshaphat knew he was God in heaven. And God knew that he was God in heaven. So why is he praying this? He's reminding his people that he's talking to somebody who's God in heaven.
Amen.
He's reminding. Sometimes when you pray, you're talking to God, but you're praying so everybody else can hear. Amen, and that's a good thing. Art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Now God knew that he ruled over all the kingdoms of the heathen. And Jehoshaphat knew that God ruled over all the kingdoms of the heathen. In his prayer, he's reminding his people that God rules all the kingdom of the heathen.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, these three armies coming against them, God was their ruler.
Yeah.
He just reminded them of that. Don't you rule over all the kingdom of the heathen? And in thine hand, y'all remember that hand?
Yes, sir.
But yesterday, amen. And in thine hand, is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? God knew. Let me say this. God has no competition.
Right.
It's a one-sided game. Now, the devil thinks it's two-sided, but it's one-sided. So, God knew that he had all power. And Jehoshaphat knew God had all power. But Jehoshaphat, in his prayer, was reminding the people, the one we're talking to, and the next verse says, our God, he's the boss, applesauce. He's in charge.
Amen.
Amen. Art not thou our God? Jehoshaphat knew he was his God. God knew he was their God. But he's reminding the people, hey, he's our God.
Amen.
See, these other people, they have gods, mm-hmm. but he's our God.
Amen.
The one that don't have any competition,
right.
He's our God.
Amen.
Art not thou our God? Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein. So, get your eyes on him. Number two, know who him is. When you pray, it'd be real good before you get to the good stuff, the stuff that the burdens that you might have, before you get to that part, just start bragging on him and just telling him how good he is and how high he is and how strong he is. And just remind yourself mm-hmm. about how strong he is.
Right.
And remind yourself that he's my God.
Amen.
I'm talking to my God.
Yes, sir.
Know who him is. Number three, I want you to see this. Verse 10. And now, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. He is blaming God for this mess. He said, these people coming against us, he said, when we came out of Egypt, we wanted to go through these people's lands, and we asked them permission, and they said no, and you told us to go around them. There were just three small tribes. And you said, no, just go around them. And he said, and now look. The three armies that we have, we're no match against them. God, if you just let us, amen, years ago, he's blaming God for this situation. And let me say this. If you're going to blame God for the situation, you better have Bible for it. And he had Bible for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you read in the book of Exodus, this happened. I mean, one tribe, one group of people, they wouldn't let them pass. God said, mow them over. And they destroyed them all. But this bunch, God says, nah, got plans for them. Just go around them. Plans? Well, here's the plan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm wicked as I can be. Way back before I was sanctified, I used to watch A-Team. And that A-Team would be surrounded by tanks and mortars and everything else. I mean, they're just surrounded. And the leader would say, I like it when a plan starts coming together. And God says, yep, the plan is coming together. It's insurmountable odds. It's going to take a miracle. And that's what I specialize in.
Amen.
Miracles.
Amen.
So, number three, did y'all remember what I'm preaching? What to do when you don't know what to do?
Yes, sir.
Get your eyes on Him. Know who Him is. Number three, see things the way God sees them. See things the way God sees them. A prophet comes by later on. And look in verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." God says, "Yep, it's my battle. It's my fault, and I got it." See things the way God sees them.
Amen.
I have a friend, and the Bards know who I'm talking about, Brother Earl Hughes. He's in heaven now. Sorry thing. Amen. But of all people, he just saw things the way God saw them. He used to hitchhike to all his meetings. Back in the 50s, he'd hitchhike to all his meetings. Matter of fact, he said the first time he's ever late to a meeting was the first time he ever had his own car. And then he sold that car to me. But anyway. But he would hitchhike to his meetings. It's back before the interstate system. I forgot what highway it was. It went from Chattanooga down to Florida. Highway, I don't know if it's Highway 27. I forgot what highway it was. But he was hitchhiking to Florida. He said it was hot. And he said, this brand new Buick pulled up. He said, I opened the back door, put my guitar, my suit coat in the back seat. He said, I got in the front seat and shut the door and said, cold air was coming out these holes in that car. He said, I just got to praising God. He never felt air conditioning before. And he says, after a while, he said, I found out the driver was a Jew. He got tired of me bragging on Jesus. And he said, what do you got to praise God about? He said, oh, he got that old beat up guitar and that suit coat back there. He said, well, it's according to how you look at it. He said, the way I look at it, the Lord just gave me a brand new Buick and a chauffeur to drive it. It's got cold air coming out the holes. Amen. He said, we pulled into a service station. The guy rolled his window down, said, fill it up. You millennials don't have a clue about this. Service station. Guy filled it up. He said, the guy gave him a $5 bill. He gave him some change back, and off we went. And you millennials don't know anything about that either. When I was 16, I was pumping gas, and it was a quarter a gallon. Amen. He said, we stopped at a restaurant. He said, the guy got to the door of the restaurant, turned around. I'm still in the car. He said, aren't you coming in? I said, no, I'll stay here. Oh, come on, let me buy you dinner. I said, he bought me dinner. He said, I found out he's going to the same town I was going to in Florida. He took me the whole way, dropped me off at the porch of the church. Now, let me ask you a question. What was reality? Lord gave him a brand new Buick, a chauffeur to drive it, had cold air coming out the holes. Paid for all the gas, did all the driving, paid for the insurance, took him out to eat, took him. Amen. That was reality. Amen. Let me say this. God is our Father. He said, art not thou our God? See things the way God sees them. We're His kids. We have seven kids. My wife says eight. I don't know who that other one was, but I remember seven. Amen. But if it's at all possible, if our kids are struggling, we're going to help them. Right. Hey, man. God's not just going to leave you floundering. Amen. Even when they come, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, no faith. Guess what he did before he rebuked them about their lack of faith? He calmed the storm.
Right.
He calmed the storm first. Amen. See things the way God sees them. He's going to take care of you.
Amen.
Well, after they get the promise from this prophet that God's got God's got it. The battle's His. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They got their eyes on Him. They know who He is. They know He's, the prophet said, He's got the battle. Battle's His. Don't fear. And Jehoshaphat got on his face and started worshiping God. And all Judah, hundreds and thousands of people, fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I can't see what you're doing now. I can't see your faces. But I'm expecting that some people are getting nervous. Somebody just falls down and starts bragging on God, just telling Him how good He is. Just bragging on His mighty acts, telling about His omnipotence and His omnipresence and His all power and His merciful. He's merciful, He's kind, He's gracious, He's long suffering, He doesn't reward us according to our iniquities. Just all the attributes of God, and just brag. David called it magnifying the Lord. Just lifting the Lord up and just bragging on God and just telling Him how good He is, worshiping. And all Judah, everybody, worshiping God. That shouldn't make people nervous.
Right.
Worship shouldn't make people nervous.
Yeah.
Most of our signs, worship hour, 11 o'clock. Every time I see those signs, I'm wondering, is that what they're doing in there? Are they worshiping? Let's just think about it for a minute. Well, Brother Ryan just comes in one day and says, now people, I've studied and I have a message and everything, but I just really feel a need that we just need to worship. And he just gets on his face. And you're out of the picture. He's on his face. And he starts bragging on God. Just thanking God for His goodness. He's not loud. He may just be mumbling. Maybe just be to himself and to God, just bragging on God. You can do it inaudibly if you need to. But just talking to God and just worshiping. What are you going to do? All Judah fell before the Lord and started worshiping.
Good.
I can see that some of you are having a hard time with this. I can understand. Because us Baptists are weak on worship. First it was the charismatics that scared us away from it. Now it's this contemporary bunch scaring us away from it. We don't want the false thing, so we just chose to get out of it altogether. Worship can be quiet. Worship, I mentioned, can be inaudible. God knows what you're thinking. You can get a quiet place somewhere and just start telling God how good He is. Worship. Now, personally, I'm not good with words, but David was. So just grab your psalm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just start reading it to God.
Yeah.
Sign your name to it.
Amen.
Just worship. So I just don't know about that. When we get to heaven, that's pretty well, there's not going to be any more preaching.
Yeah, right.
Not going to be any more soul winning.
Right.
No more teaching, no more bus routes. Some people, they're going to be like a fish out of water because that's all they know about serving God is working. They don't know anything about worship.
Yeah.
Now, when I say we, I'm talking about independent, fundamental, King James. I'm not charismatic.
Right.
And I'm not contemporary. I have washed some windows before, but amen. I'm not contemporary. People won't have anything to do with me. But I'm saying this. There is a real thing. He told that woman at the well, God seeketh such to worship Him.
Yeah.
Why does God have to go around looking for somebody that'll worship Him? Now in our group, we do have some opportunities to worship. But we're so scared of worship, we don't take the opportunity. Half the songs in that song book are directed to Him. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. That song, you are talking to God and you're lifting Him up and you're magnifying Him. The question is, are you just reading words off a page that has a tune to it? Or are you worshiping? We sung one song yesterday for the invitation. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. Mm-hmm. You're talking to Him.
Yes, sir.
And the ultimate of worship is surrender.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, in the song service, brother, I used to teaching in Bible college, and I taught song leading. And I told them first day, I said, song service is not something to get you from the offering to the announcements. That's not what the song service is about. Because a lot of preachers, they think that's what it is. Many preachers think the song service is a waste of time. They want to hurry up and get to the message because that's the big part. Well, first of all, you're ate up with yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. I've seen God get in song service and leave as soon as the preacher got up to preach.
Amen.
Amen. Preachers know how to scare him off. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So song service. Worship. The offering. I get tired of preachers apologizing for taking an offering. That's an opportunity to worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you put that in the plate, you're saying, you're worth this. You're worthy of this.
Right.
The wise men, we followed the star. We came that we might worship Him. How'd they do it? Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. It was a gift. They wanted to worship. So when the plate passes by, well, no, say, God, this is for You.
Yeah, right.
It's worship.
Amen.
And the invitation. I beseech you, brethren, by mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Amen.
It's worship. It's worship. You're, God, you're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my gifts. You're worthy of this body that you bought.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you present your body a living sacrifice. So worship. All Judah, King Jehoshaphat, all Judah fell before the Lord worshiping the Lord. Now, if some of you had a hard time with that, you're really going to have a hard time with the next one. Verse 19. And the Levites, of the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high.
Amen.
Praise.
Yes.
Some people are pretty comfortable with worship because they like it quiet. I went to a Good Friday service one time just to cause trouble. It wasn't anything spiritual about it at all. I was wondering about their math. I mean, how can be crucified? You know, amen. Just anyway. So I went to a Good Friday service. As soon as I walked in, there was a sign. It was a Methodist church, United Methodist Church. There was a sign across the door when you walked in. If you must talk, whisper. And if you must whisper, whisper a prayer. Worship can be quiet. Praise, on the other hand, is always loud.
Amen.
Some preachers are okay with worship, but some preachers are not okay with praise.
Right.
And here's the rule. Preachers can do it, but you can't.
Go ahead.
I've been known to take a few laps. And they somehow condone it because I'm an old man and I'm a preacher and they let me do it. But if one of them had done it, it might have been a different circumstance. Praise is always loud. The 10 lepers were cleansed. One came back with a loud voice, glorified God.
Amen.
Now, Jesus was not hard of hearing. Worship is you talking to God. And God's not hard of hearing. You can do it loud. You can do it softly. You can do it inaudibly. Praise, on the other hand, is not directed to God. Praise is directed to other people to know what you think about God.
Amen.
And it's always loud.
Amen.
Old time Bible soul winning was people praising God. That's what it was. It wasn't just 1, 2, 3, pray after me. It was, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what God did for me.
Amen.
I was on my way to Damascus. I mean, that was old time soul winning.
Yeah.
Just praising God. Just telling people what God means to you. That was old time soul winning.
Amen.
Praising. Again, and see, I'm from the South. And so half of you, I'm just being a prophet right now, half of you are thinking right now, well, you Southern people, that's the way y'all are, but up here, we're different and not the church I went to. There's more dead churches down south than there are north. Church I was in, I only remember 3 noises the whole time I was there. I remember the first time we moved into the new sanctuary and a fire extinguisher fell off the wall of the first service. I got people's attention, woke up 2 or 3 people. One time, one Sunday night, old man Johnson, our janitor, sitting on the 4th row in the middle there, and preacher was preaching, his elbow fell off his knee. Boom, right out in the aisle. Amen. First holy roller we ever had in our church, Brother Johnson, amen. I remember that. And we sat in the back. Well, I was a teenager. We sat in the back. But we get to see all that stuff. Amen. Amen. And there was one old man in our church, old man Lehman, sat on the 2nd row. Every once in a while, the preacher slip up and say something real good about Jesus. And old man Lehman would stand up, put his hands up in the air, and go, "Woo! And his wife, now she didn't stand up, but she had a bun on her hair. And that bun would go, whoa, 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 whoa. You knew she was having a good time. You knew she was having a good time. So I guess we had a shout in church, but we only had one guy that did it. preacher loses place, you know, halfway miffed, you know. But I'm just saying, I wasn't raised that way. When I got out of Bible, and in Bible college, they talked about, in the old days, people used to shout and praise the Lord. And I always wondered, how come not now? Because I could tell it wasn't allowed. It wasn't encouraged any. We didn't do any of it. But anyway, just putting that out there. But I'm just telling you how I was raised and how I was trained. And the Bible college I went to, the same town, the Assembly of God college was there. And so we tried to stay as far away from that. Amen. We studied the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. We're scared to death of the Holy Ghost. It was the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. No, Holy Ghost is God.
Amen.
Not scared of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's God.
Amen.
Got out of Bible college, went to Lebanon, Ohio. And the radio station there played this guy every morning. I used to get up to the clock radio. You millennials don't have a clue. Clock radio. Set that clock radio. Now, when I was a kid, I set the clock radio, and you'd hear the click. And then the tubes had to warm up first. And then the sound came on after. You don't know anything about that either. But anyway, clock radio. I'd set the clock radio. I'd hear the click. And here come Leroy Jenkins. The church of what's happening now in Delaware, Ohio. If you're old enough to remember Flip Wilson, he used to do this Reverend Leroy. It was after this guy. Amen. And this guy was the wackiest. He was wrong on every doctrine in the Bible. But he was entertaining. I'm listening to, I'm like, this guy is retarded. He's got this big church. I mean, he's healing eyeballs and he's growing legs and he's just wonderful. I mean, it's amazing what you can do on the radio, amen. But all these things he's doing. But he would get to this one point and would grieve me. He would say, let's give Jesus a big hand. Number one, you're not supposed to clap hands in church. Number two, they were clapping for him. They weren't clapping for Jesus, amen, because it's after he did this wonderful thing, whatever it was. And it just grieved me. So I turned the radio off. I just felt dirty listening to it. A few years later, I ended up at a camp meeting down in Resaca, Georgia, with Sammy Allen. I was sitting on the second row, about 1,000 people there, sitting on the second row. Somebody got right, somebody got saved. I don't know what happened. Brother Sammy Allen's up there, just a real man of God, just gun barrel straight. He says, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. And boy, that same grief went through me. I thought, oh no. And then he made me mad. I mean, I'm sitting on the second row. I can't get out. Then he made me mad. He said, Psalm 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now that made me mad. I know what I believe and don't bring the Bible into it. So they're clapping and I'm grieved. But I believe the Bible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I looked up Psalm 47:1. While they're clapping, got my Bible out, opened it up to Psalm 47:1, and there it is. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. And I'm thinking now, in the Hebrew, that word all means all. Amen.
Amen.
There was no way out of it. I reread it and reread it. And it says, clap your hands, all ye people. I thought, oh man, that's what the Bible says. It says it. So they've been clapping a while and I keep reading that verse. It don't change any. It says the same thing. So I laid the Bible, I balanced it on that front pew where I could keep reading it and make sure it said it. And I started this little anemic clap, and I was asking God to forgive me if it was wrong, because it didn't feel good at all. I was grieved while I was doing it, but I keep reading, and that's what the Bible is. The Bible kept saying the same thing. And after a while, I don't know how long, it didn't change any. It just kept saying the same thing. And I said, God, this is what you said. You said, clap your hands, all you people. So what I'm saying is, I wasn't feeling it, except for I was feeling obedient. Praise is not emotionalism. Right. Praise is obedience.
Amen.
How many times does the Bible have to say, praise ye the Lord before you're going to do it?
Oh, that's good.
So I finally started clapping like I should have been clapping. Well, as long as it took me to tell you that, they have been clapping. So they're getting done. And I'm just getting started. So I got this clap solo going on. And then I read the rest of the verse. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I said, oh no, God, not that. He said, that's what it says. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I've been doing it ever since.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel like it. Sometimes I feel like an idiot when I do it. But he deserves praise no matter how I feel.
Amen.
The Bible says praise is comely. It's right. Down in Tennessee, we don't use that word, comely. I had to look it up. I suggest that. If you see a word, look it up.
Yeah.
Praise is comely. It said, in order, at all times, appropriate.
Praise the Lord.
Praise is always in order.
Amen.
Praise is always appropriate.
Amen.
I just read a verse. Psalm 22. I just thought about it when I was sitting in my pew there. I thought, oh boy. Psalm 22. Verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest what?
The praises
of Israel.
Amen.
Didn't say inhabited Israel.
Right.
He inhabited the praises of Israel.
Amen.
You want God to show up at the church? To start praising Him.
Amen.
I said half our songs in that book are worship. They're directed to Him. The other half are praise.
Amen.
Heard an old story. How a Savior came from glory. Now you're telling everybody else what you think about Him.
Yeah.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior. I like these kids. They sing by letter.
Amen.
They open their mouth and let her fly. Amen. I like that. Amen. And most people, most of you adults, you don't sing by letter.
Uh-oh.
You're missing a good opportunity to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise. Praise is comely.
Amen.
He inhabits the praises of Israel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise is always loud. Sorry. Not. Amen.
Yeah.
Until I die again, I'm going to be preaching this. Amen.
Amen.
I mentioned every once in a while, I'll take a lap. People, I really don't care. You remember when David brought that ark back from Philistines? Bible says, and David danced mightily before the Lord. It wasn't a sensual dance. He was just hooping and hollering, having a good time.
Yeah.
But he danced mightily before the Lord. I mean, he didn't just mess around. He got with it. And so he's excited. He goes up to his wife. He says, did you see down there? Did you see it? She said, yeah, I saw it. She was Baptist. Amen. She was a Baptist. Yeah, I saw it. Look like an idiot. The Bible didn't say idiot, but that's what she meant. In the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it was idiot. She said, you acted like a simple. You act like one. He said, hey, woman. God chose me before your father's house, King Saul, to make me king over Israel forever. Therefore, will I play before the Lord. So before you criticize me for doing my running, I'm just playing before the Lord.
Amen.
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 You should tell me, don't play in church. I found out later, it's okay. Amen.
Good, brother.
I'm having too good a time here, folks. I told him yesterday, plenty of liberty.
Amen.
Please, I'm not talking about starting a circus.
Right.
I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, don't be dead.
Right.
You know, it's easier to restrain a wild man than it is to resurrect a dead one. If things get out of hand, he'll sit you down. But so far, I doubt anything's gotten out of hand around here.
Come on.
Amen. We had a service one night. I had preached. I know it's 8:30. I had preached Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and then drove 2 hours to get home. We hadn't been to our home church in a while. And I'm almost home. And my kids, Daddy, we want to go to our church tonight. We'd already been to church twice that day. I'm tired. Daddy, we want to go to our church. So I went to our church, just praising the Lord. I on purpose left my guitar in the trunk of the car. Because I knew. And as soon as I walked in, Brother Eastep said, hey, Blanco, I know he's coming. Did you bring your guitar? Yeah. It's in the trunk of the car. Go get it. Praise the Lord. Brought my guitar in. He said, you got anything to preach tonight? I'm like, we're paying you to do that. You're the pastor. I said, I guess I could preach something. He said, good, I'm tired. I don't feel like preaching tonight. So I'm sitting back there praising the Lord. Thanking God I'm at church. And I can see a preacher. He's up on the platform during the song service. He's looking at me. He's looking through his Bible. I'm thinking, he still don't know what he's doing. Finally, he gets up. He said, any of you young men got any 5-minute messages? I'm thinking, yes, that's a good plan. I like it when a plan comes together, amen. So I mean the line formed. He had that oven timer on. He turned it on 5 minutes and then preached. Before I knew it, I was in line, man. I mean, them young men got me stirred up. I didn't want to preach any 30, 40-minute message, but a 5-minute message, yeah, I'm good for that. I got in line. I preached Ephesians 5:9-5, whatever it is. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled. I preached about being filled with the Spirit. When I got done, preacher got up there. He said, all right, that's the message right there. He said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you come down here to the altar and ask God. I mean, the whole church. Whole church, up the aisles and everywhere. Whole church praying. They got done. They start going back to their seats. And he told me, dismiss in prayer. I said, well, preacher, you know that next verse says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I said, why don't we sing a spiritual song before we go home? He said, okay, pick one out of the book. We had the old Church of God hymnal. We started singing, everybody will be happy over there. And we forgot they was all drunk. They all got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was under the influence. And we started singing, everybody will be happy over there. Well, one guy grabbed the American flag. One guy grabbed the Christian flag. And off they went. Every man in the church, they just hooping and hollering, running around the auditorium, you know, having a big time. And we enjoyed. Brother Eastep had a little bitty Christian flag. And he'd, you know, like a NASCAR, you know, when they passed by. Are y'all listening? we didn't do that every service. We rarely did it, but we could do it. That's just where we were. But anyway, the man, well, one of the guys, his wife stops him. And she whispers something to him. He shrugged his shoulders. So they take off together, the man and the woman. We've never had that before. So the other women, they got, amen. So after a while, all the men, all the women, they, you know, of course, the running slowed down. You know, they had to wait for the wife, you know. So all the, we, our church had a lot of kids. My preacher preached against birth control, so we had a bunch of kids. So our kids are watching their mom and dad have a good time at church. They're watching. That's getting dizzy. And preacher's watching this. He says, you kids, if you want to, he said, go ahead and run. We don't care. Boy, the kids got out. They started. They had a ball. I mean, it was a mess. We had four or five people in our church sitting there, you know, watching it. Preacher says, I know what some of you are thinking. He said, you're thinking, these kids don't know what they're doing. He said, and you're right, most of them don't. He said, but they'll be back next Sunday night.
Amen.
You know, when people get out of church, as soon as they can. Kids raised up in church, you know when they get out? Graduation. As soon as they can. Why? Because it's so wild? No. Because it's dead. It's dead. Did y'all get what I said a while ago? I'm not talking about starting a circus. But I'm talking about every once in a while. It's time to praise the Lord. When these kids were up there singing, there's two or three verses. Y'all should have been up washing windows. Amen. Lost my place. They're praising God. Verse 21. And when he when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. How did it happen? When he started singing and praising.
Yes, sir.
God destroyed the enemy.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what you're going through, but apparently you can't do anything about it, or you would have. So get your eyes on him. Know who him is. See things the way God sees them. Worship. Praise. Sing. And God will take care of the rest. Now, I will conserve a little time. But if you read the rest of that chapter, after God gave them the victory, you know what they did? They worshiped and they praised and they sung some more. They probably felt like it the second time.
Right.
Sometimes, hey, Joshua, 13 times altogether. Once a day for 6 days. Seventh day, they went around seven times. And when we read that again, we don't think when we read the Bible, we think like marching around the church. No, they marched around a city. That last day, it had to be almost all day long. They marched around that city. And then when they get done, and they couldn't say anything, no talking. Can you imagine what they were saying over the walls? The enemy? Can you imagine they mocking them and everything else? So they couldn't say anything. They got finished the 13th trip around that wall. And then Joshua says, all right, now everybody shout.
Well,
I don't see anything to shout about. I'm just going to give you all of them. Well, I wasn't raised that way. Well, I was taught against that. That's emotionalism.
Oh, help us.
Well, I'm introvert. Oh. And I'm shy. And I understand that. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord, unless you're shy. Praise ye the Lord, unless you weren't raised that way. Praise ye the Lord, unless you're from the north. Praise ye the Lord, unless your wife's sitting next to you.
Help us.
I've seen it. I try to get men to say amen, and some finally they'll say amen and then look and see if it was okay. Put your man pants on, amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I don't think they felt like shouting.
Right.
I'm talking about Joshua and them. I don't think they felt like shouting. He says, shout. They started shouting and the walls came down. Sometimes you have to shout on credit. Sometimes you have to praise the Lord on credit. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, it's not in your heart to praise, but He's worthy of praise.
Amen.
And so you just praise Him when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, Hebrews 13 talks about the sacrifice of praise. That's when you really don't feel like it. And you do it anyway.
Amen.
It says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Well, let me say with Lester Roloff, it's amazing what praising can do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. It's amazing what praising can do.
Amen.
And let me say, the other side, complaining, it's amazing what that does too. Kills churches.
Yeah.
Kills families.
Yes, sir.
Kills relationships.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all know what to do when you don't know what to do? Get your eyes on Him. Know who He is. He's our God.
Yeah.
He's King over all the heathen.
Amen.
Amen. He's all powerful. Amen. Know who He is. See things the way God sees them. You're His children. If you're in a tight, now if you caused it, He might require some repentance. But like the on that ship, He calmed the storm first and then dealt with them about their lack of faith.
Amen.
I mean, get right. But see things the way God sees them. Worship, praise, sing. And when God gives a victory, worship, praise, sing some more.
Amen.
Amen. Hope that helped you tonight. If you didn't get anything else, praise is not emotionalism.
Right.
Praise is obedience.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He's worthy to be praised, and praise is comely.
Amen.
It's always in order. It's always appropriate to praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And He inhabits the praises of His saints. So, I've never done this before. But do you feel the presence of God here? You think He's here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's coming. He inhabits the praises of Israel. Amen. It's coming. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hard to stop. It's hard to stop. Amen. Some of you, it's hard to start, but I'm saying it's hard to stop. Amen. Why would you stop?
Amen.
Amen. Why would you stop? We're going to see him one day. You don't think we're going to clap when we see him? Standing ovation. And how are you going to stop? I mean, we're going to have eternity. Amen. How are you going to stop? Amen. Nothing wrong with it. It's comely. It's appropriate. In order at all times. Amen. This is good. I'm not going to stop it. Amen. One day we'll have glorified bodies and we won't be tired of it at all. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth, oh yeah, diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the foe. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah. Amen, preacher. Amen.